The perfect spirit animal for consumerism would be definitely a kangaroo. It's not just that the giant leaps could also visualize the repeat progress of consumerism. There's something much better with them. They've got an included bag. Of course, with the tiny but noteworthy difference that they aren't supposed to carry burden in it. Hello, my name is Stefania.
And mine is Maria.
And regardless of whether you're here purposely or not, we'd like to warmly welcome you to our today's episode, talking about psychological effects of consumerism. So, first of all, we should define what consumerism is.
I find out that there are many definitions, but the most common would be that it is the human desire to own and obtain products and goods in the excess of basic needs, which are simply having sufficient food, clothing, and shelter. We specifically calling somebody a consumer if someone is having more than 10 US dollars, that means about 8.30 euro, a day to live on. This number is also referred to as the middle class and will grow from 3.5 billion in 2017 to approximately 5.6 billion by 2030. Seeing the numbers, it is not surprising to hear that the Earth can take our behavior on a permanent basis. I mean, if everyone would live like the average American, we would need about 5.2 planets to support us. But the most terrifying is that we still, despite all these numbers, in most of the cases don't even recognize how much we're actually consuming. And that's not just because our lifestyle has changed. Consumerism today is more than just buying non-basic needs. It is nowadays a kind of self-expression. That means it's getting more individual and our social identity almost depends partly on it. Like, it is already well seen on social media, advertisements, or even people in important social positions like politicians. For instance, our Minister of Food and Agriculture, Julia Glöckner, whose better paid job might be advertising latently for Nestle rather than caring about serious problems in our nature. After all, consumerism is like a classical brand for everyone whose own name isn't one sales brand enough. But why does something like that amuse us still, if we know it's not even just a waste of resources? That's what science is calling the research of consumer behavior. It is concerned with the study of motivation surrounding a purchase of a product or service. What is clear is that there must be some influence of biology on the consumer behavior and how these purchase decisions are made. But there's also the high discussed debate between nature versus nurture as a core of how much biology actually influences these buying decisions. However, it seems to be clear why we are consuming. There are a lot of functions, like the satisfaction of basic needs, the attraction and affection in a strongly emotional and sexual way, identity and a need for belonging, social meaning, habits, what includes the non-questioned buying of things, welfare, and luck. While the last point was making me personally thinking about, are we really getting happier by buying, using, and managing all this stuff?
Certainly happiness is difficult to pin down. Today's young adults grew up with much more affluence, but just like the psychologist David Myers said, our becoming much better off over the last three decades has not been accompanied by one iota of increased subjective well-being. The relationship between mental state and materialism is very complex. Does materialism stoke unhappiness, unhappiness stokes materialism, or both? Well, first of all, let's have a look on the factors. Going shopping and buying stuff takes time. Less time you can spend with your family, with friends, going out and being creative. This often leads to people having goals that may lead to poor well-being. For example, chasing the big money instead of a life full of great moments with beloved ones. Focusing on possession, image and status instead of personal growth, community connection, and things that are satisfying in and of themselves. And this can have deep effects on our well-being. Depression, burnout, self-harm, but also being less generous, less agreeable, and less likely to help others. According to the Working Foundation, British millennials have the second worst mental well-being in the world, second only to Japan. Depression rates have doubled in a decade, with as many as 24% of girls and 9% of boys aged 13 in the UK experiencing symptoms of depression. 93% of teachers report increased levels of mental illness in children and young people. Is consumerism partly to blame? Yet we do not know very much about the long-term effects of this consumer culture. But looking at the reasons, a big driver is insecurity, financial and emotional. Indeed, not the money per se, but the striving for it can cause materialism, and also the feeling to need to fill a gap caused by drama, for example, the experience of violence or death. And of course, peer pressure, the feeling of staying behind.
So after all, what can we do against this?
I need it!
And turning it into...
I don't need it. I don't need it. I definitely don't need it.
Or really start to recognize the worth of our possessions.
Let's draw a conclusion. Studies of materialistic lifestyles show that people who rely less on physical materials for happiness after base needs are met, are generally happier. Consuming less stuff isn't about going backwards or making a sacrifice, an accusation often leveled at the environment sector. Consuming less is about focusing on what really makes young people happy. When it comes to consumption levels in a wealthy society, it appears that less really is more.
I'd say with the words of PhD Burroughs, material things are neither bad or good. It is the role and stages they are accorded in one's life that can be problematic. The key is to find a balance. To appreciate what you have, but not at the expense of the things that really matter. Your family, community, spirituality. What a wonderful
world. This was Creatures of Habit. Stay comfortable.